Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Man, some of the quotes from the Cranes piece of folks down in Springfield. The governor's office remains open to conversations with the Bears, lawmakers, and other stakeholders with the understanding that responsible fiscal stewardship of taxpayer dollars remains the foremost priority. That's quite the rebuke.
How about no?
This is from State Rep Kelly Cassidy, who said the Bears' ask is, quote, unconscionable.
Shoot that into my veins.
Just took it to my veins!
I am glad to see that, at least for now, that people are sticking to their principles about this and that they have talked with the voting public, and the voting public, for the most part, has been like, no, that's, we don't need to do that.
The statement that the Bears released is, we share a commitment to protecting the taxpayers of Illinois and look forward to further discussions. First of all, don't lie to me. You do not share any commitment to protecting the taxpayers of Illinois. And I can say that because I am. We're all taxpayers of Illinois, so don't claim you represent me.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Happy Friday. Hello. How's everything in your world? Good enough?
Mine?
Yeah.
Pretty good,
actually. A little wet this morning?
I enjoyed opening up the windows and just kind of letting that air in, that nice humid air in. And last night, as the NBA game was going on, it cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
That's perfect sleeping weather right there.
Well, I had a little problem with the weather yesterday because our show finished up and
went fishing.
I got my workout done and I went to Montrose Harbor and I found a nice little spot and I was talking to some of my peeps out there, you know, all those crazy fisher people, and we're sharing stories and talking about, you know, what we're throwing and what, and all of a sudden I said, wow, the temperature just dropped about 15 degrees.
Uh-oh.
And then I looked back to the southwest and I said, you know, I don't like the way that sky looks. So then I get a text from my wife and says, are you anywhere near shelter? And I texted back and I said, no. And then I realized that she's about a half a mile to the west of where I am. And then it was like a cartoon. I heard thunder crash and then I absolutely soaked to the bone. Absolutely, completely sopping. Couldn't wear my shoes today because the shoes still hadn't dried. Although she told me Hokas can go in the dryer, but I didn't know that. So I didn't do that. So I'm wearing my backup shoes and sat in the car. But I didn't go home. I went down to Belmont Harbor and caught myself a mezzo fish.
Yeah. Did you share that picture with
me? I did. I shared the picture, but
it got past me.
Because I was catching all these sunfish were enormous, in like half a pound. One of the biggest bluegills I ever caught, a rock bass, was like 10 inches long. I said, screw it. I'm keeping them. I'm keeping them. And I just started keeping them. And I walked back. I had my entire net was full. It was honestly nine. It's probably 5 pounds of fish. I threw it in a bag. I went to Jewel. I got some breading.
So, okay.
We fried them up.
Something came to mind when we talked about this in the pre-show meeting.
What?
You got rained on while fishing.
Yes.
You're carrying the fish
that was later.
To wherever.
That was to my car. That was later. Okay. That was a different spot. That was
I'm just
later
wondering
in the day.
If you showered before you went to the store.
How bad did you smell?
How bad did you smell?
Awful.
Oh, God.
I was covered in fish and scales, and I had been completely rained on and was walking around, and my dirt under my fingernails. I mean, really, it was gross.
My God.
I had a similar but not the same, a similar experience and not the same outcome. So I'm sitting there paying bills. So there's still a couple of bills I pay via check. And I'm like, okay. And I look outside and I go, I thought it was supposed to be like a thing. It seems to be fine. So I step out the back door and I'm like, I'll walk to the mailbox, which is not very far. I walk to the mailbox. I get into the house. I'm like, that wasn't that bad at all. Immediately. Like, as soon as I sat back down, there was the thunder. There was the lightning. A basketball team and a hockey team both showed up at my house, and then the rain started. I was like, oh, I guess they were right. Shout out to Brant Miller.
Always right. And they'll tell you. If you notice what NBC is doing?
They should sell it back. Here's why. People who do weather, it has been my experience working with a bunch of the best weather people here in this city. They get a lot of crap when the weather's bad.
I know.
So, yes, but they should spike the football they predict that something is going to happen and it happens.
That was always one of the Drew Hayes rules I remember he used to say when it came to promoting. And, you know, and Mitch does it too, but Drew's like, look, tell them what you're going to do, do it, and then tell them you did it.
Yep.
I said, oh, okay. You don't have to yell, but thank you. I agree with you. So the only problem yesterday was when the Cubs went up 4-0. I thought to myself, you know, what do you think the correlation is between hitting a 3-run home run and MLB victory?
Probably about 70%, right?
Bingo. That's the number. You hit a 3-run homer, you have a 70% correlation with winning. And I don't need to get all into win expectancy and all that. That usually feels pretty damn good.
Well, it felt good, too, because we have been talking about Morel, and like he's the guy that from the guys that are left on the roster.
Hit it out.
He's the guy that you expect to hit the ball out. So there, he does the thing where he hits it out. You should feel really good about your chances. And from a statistical standpoint, you should feel good about your chances.
And your starter's rolling. And it's getaway day, and very often that teams kind of pack it in, like, all right, well, all right, here, this is it. Let's go. We got the rest of our day ahead. We can still get 18 holes in if we get out of here quickly. And it was the Cubs pitching that just kind of rolled over. And I think, what did you put in the group chat? Madrigal giveth and Madrigal taketh away.
Yeah. Also, the Pete Crow Armstrong thing. With the helmet on second base, again, a little too much.
Lawrence LaRusso over here.
is that really a question?
I'm guilty of it, too.
But it's
true. But if he were Pedro Cuervo Brazo Fuerte, we're not saying that.
People were having a hard time understanding like the difference. And I'll give you the difference because I know it from...
Culture.
From the catcher position.
Oh.
You can't catch a ball with your mask.
It's illegal.
Correct. Yeah. Just like being on a base with your helmet in your hand and having the helmet be on the base, you're not safe. Like that was... They didn't interpret the rule correctly. Like the Mets have... If they wanted to challenge the game, they would have been on very solid ground from a rules standpoint. Just, you don't have to do that. So let the helmet fly off. Someone will go get it for you.
So that's two times in one series where potentially there were big blown calls.
Yeah. I mean.
That went in the Cubs' favor.
Look, the umpiring in Major League Baseball has been a major story this year. And I don't know if there's any... That's the sad part, is that it doesn't feel like there's going to be anything that happens because of it. But more and more people are comfortable putting those mistakes out there for the consumer to see. Maybe that gets to the top offices in Major League Baseball. But then again, the commissioner of baseball doesn't like baseball. So who knows if it even matters?
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, and Kevin Lapka are doing all the things that they do. When you said Madrigal giveth and Madrigal taketh away, I realized for the first, what is it now, 5 weeks of baseball, you know things are going well when you don't notice Nick Madrigal.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is
too much.
He's mattered too much. I look at it like an absolute value where it's one direction, it's the other direction. If the roster is idealized, you don't think about it. Or you say, that's a nice little luxury. Somebody whose defense has become trustworthy and someone who...
We'll put the bat on the ball if you need contact.
If you need contact, you know he's not going to strike out. And he in a pinch, he can get you out of a game at multiple infield positions. He's a 25th or 26th guy in a roster. The problem is, so far this year, it's been too Madrigal-y.
Yes, and out of necessity because you're working with a player that's trying to learn a position. And they've invested, the Cubs, not this particular coaching staff, but the Cubs have invested in making Madrigal a third baseman. So, yeah, if Nick Madrigal were playing in the 90s, people would love him even more because he's a utility player.
Try the 70s.
But
that's where he'd really fit in.
The number four overall pick, that's not great. What did he turn into? A 26 man. It's great for him that he's figured out how to stay at the major league level.
He's going to get a pension.
But the reason that he's not more valuable was on display yesterday. It would be great if he were also fast.
Or smart on the bases.
Right. I know that he looks fast, like, because he's like a little guy. You're like, oh, little guys are the, he's speedy. He's not really speedy.
He's not slow.
He's not slow. But for what he does for your team, it would be awesome if he were a little bit faster. And also his judgment and sometimes his technique when it comes to running the bases. That's a lot of faults for a player who matters as much as he has over the last couple of years for the Cubs.
I would like this season to be less Madrigal-y. Is that too much to ask?
No, I think that that's fair. And if the Cubs are less Madrigal-y, it's because Christopher Morel has taken to third base and you're not suffering because he's doing it. The way that Council has used Madrigal for the most part for me this season has been on point. Seventh inning, we're going to make a defensive replacement.
I'm not criticizing some of the usage because I understand the necessity.
Absolutely.
Like, you've got a circle of trust among position players just like you have in your weird shrinking bullpen arrangement, whatever this is right now.
That's good.
Yeah, like, seriously, Yency Almonte throws one slider the other day. I'm like, circle of trust. I like him now. You, I want that guy.
You thought you were done with Daniel Palencia. Didn't he? He thought Council was up in here and then Palencia, that was gone.
I know. Hundo is...
Is this Dan?
Is this Dan? Yes. Hundo is tantalizing, but he's still bad.
Is it Dan or Lawrence?
Yes.
Yes.
You ask, I answer. Go ahead. But
you thought you were done. And like a horror movie villain, he just keeps coming back because they've got a need. And these are the issues that Layla has been so vocal about. You needed to do more.
Mm-hmm. Instead of waiting for the deadline.
You should have done more. This is what Ray has been talking about. You should have done more. But the beautiful thing is, even with all of that, and you look at the win expectancy, they're ahead of that, and they're still right there. They're right there. What are you pointing at?
Patrick Beverly has apologized.
As he should. For what? because there's a couple things he needed to apologize for.
I know. Well, all I saw here was Melinda Adams, the producer in question, says, I want to thank everyone for their kind words and support. I'm humbled. Patrick Beverly just called me and apologized. I appreciate it and accept it. The Bucks also reached out to apologize. I've been in news for over 40 years, and kindness and grace always win.
Oh, okay. That's only one thing that Patrick Beverly should apologize for.
Yeah, the kicking the ball.
It wasn't kicking. It was multiple throwing of the ball. Like, throwing the ball, getting the ball back, and then throwing it again at people.
He's going to get fined.
He should be fined as...
I think he's going to be fined for both things. You can be fined for not fulfilling your media responsibilities and or antagonizing and endangering.
I also will, this is me being skeptical and maybe a little bit cynical about the apology. Because the apology may have been sincere.
I didn't hear it.
But where does Patrick Beverly work in the offseason at ESPN? If Melinda didn't work for ESPN, would he have apologized? Because he knows that when he's done playing, that's where he's going to get his bread butter, not his podcast. So was this a business decision as much as it was a sincere apology?
Well, that's what Paul Pabbs pointed out, where he said some real immediate fallout for Patrick Beverly. He's been a network playoff analyst with ESPN. After the incident with an ESPN producer, that career option may cool quickly, at least in the short term.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm a little skeptical about it.
As you should be. I think there's a difference between skeptical and cynical.
There is.
I think the cynicism might creep in.
It often does on this show.
And that's a normal response based on the world that we live in. But I would say at the moment, I think that skepticism is absolutely warranted.
We should spend some time talking about that on the show. But we should also talk about the Cubs manager. If we can, I want to go back in the next segment. I want to go back because this is the first time that Craig Counsell is going to be facing the Brewers. And we know that breakup was rough, particularly for Brewers fans and seemingly for Counsell. And I don't know if he understood how rough it was going to be. But why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about the Counsell Wars? Does that work? I feel like that works.
I like it. I think that's very Chicago.
So Chicago. And so Taguchi. We will talk about the Counsell Wars and the Cubs as they get ready to host the Brewers. Next, it's Bernstein and Holmes. We are here until Cubs baseball at 12:45 on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Well, for sure, the Brewers and the Cubs always have a long-standing tradition, and I've been lucky enough to be part of it for the last 9 years. And going forward, it got a little more interesting. The soap opera has developed, And it's going to be a little more interesting, obviously, but you can't change what you can't change. You know what I mean? And that's the schedule and my relationship with Counts. Those things, you know, we can get in fights. That's fine. But, you know, our relationship will never change.
That's Pat Murphy talking about his friend and predecessor as the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, current Cubs skipper Craig Counsell, who now will be facing his former team for the first time.
The highest paid manager in the game, $8 million a year, is that right? $8 million, right? Five-year deal, $40 million, is $8 million?
That's right.
$8 million a year for Craig Counsell. And there was a lot of bad blood that people's feelings were hurt when, go ahead and sing it.
No, I was singing it to myself. It's okay.
When he left. Now, look, he went on a whole award tour with Muhammad, my man. Like, he did the whole thing. He met with the Mets. He met with Cleveland. He clandestinely met with the Cubs. And then they got this deal done. So I don't know if it was ever in the cards for Craig Counsell to go back to Milwaukee. I don't know if that was ever going to be a thing, if they were going to pay him what the market bears or what he's
worth. It sounds
like
no, based on what they said in the aftermath, and they sort of tried to paint him as a greedy mercenary.
Right, and he's been more than fair, and I'm sure that he looked at this and said, am I going to be able to get the resources I need to get to a place where I can make the Milwaukee Brewers not just a team that wins a division, because they're doing that. Like, they're a competitive team inside the National League Central. They since, was it 2008 where they traded for CeCe? Does that sound right? Or was that 2012?
Yeah, they ended up making the playoffs and flaming out in the first round, I believe.
But there are moves like, there aren't a ton of history of moves like that for Milwaukee. So I would understand why he would go, why don't I go to a place where if we need something, we can get it, theoretically. Now, one would argue, looking at the Cubs as it stands right now, they probably should have done more leading into the season, but there's been this kind of promise, this kind of wink-wink, that they'll be able to figure it out and they'll make a move at the trade deadline if they think that they're close. But we had a conversation. It was great. The whole day that he got announced and they did the big press conference, he came in and sat in with us. He talked about how much he loved the Boers and Bernstein show, which I thought was amazing, and like how that played a role in the story of him and his wife. And like, take a bow, Dan. People like that show. They didn't like you. But
whoa, look out. Ducks. Whoa.
And they loved Who You Crappin', even though it was bad.
It got bad at the end. Who You Crappin' at the beginning was great.
It peaked at McNally's in Beverly.
That's probably right. But, you know, it wasn't your fault that it got bad. It was the people not understanding, you know, the bit.
Well, and the news cycle.
Yes, the political spectrum.
Everything, happened faster.
Climate and
yeah,
all of that
good
stuff.
Wait a week anymore. Yep.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Who You Crappin'?
Yes, that thing. When we talked with Craig Counsell, it was you and me and Layla. He talked about, and you, if you listen close, we were looking directly at him. If you listen close, you can hear a little bit of the sadness about how people reacted to him leaving Milwaukee.
I underestimated that reaction for sure. Miscalculation on my part for sure. I'm not saying it doesn't feel good. No, it does not feel good. And it's probably been why, that's why I said it's been an emotional week for me. Today really helped. Today really helped. And I understand you got to live with that. And it's real for people and it's what they're experiencing. It's what fans experience, man. Being a fan is being emotional. And I'm cool with that, man. That's why we're all here. I do think that I am confident that how we performed, the experience we gave our fans in Milwaukee over the last 9 years was good. I know that that was good. So I do think that will age well. And so I have to be comfortable with this, that this, the upset, the fact that people are upset will heal a bit over time.
I imagine that they've done that and the winning helps in Milwaukee, right? The people are, they'll be mad. go Brewers, beat the Cubs, show Council what he's missing out on. But I think overall, they're pretty happy with the way things have gone.
I think they've gotten over it relatively quickly. Yeah. I think being spurned as sort of the stepchild Midwestern city to the north in the moment when somebody wrote on, what was it, Whitefish Bay or whatever it was, there was Craig Council Park and somebody dared to sneak out in the middle of the night and in the most Wisconsin way ever just wrote ass. I'll show you, Craig Council. Yeah, I'll show you. I'll get out there and I'll write it.
It's very nice that they wrote it that way.
And it's probably erasable.
Yeah. I like Milwaukee.
I love Milwaukee.
I will say, I do not like their ballpark.
Well, I don't think they like it either. But how's it going? Aren't they also looking for public money?
Yeah. And the thing is, when it was built, I was still reporting when Miller Park opened up. So I went and covered games in Milwaukee. And I will say that I liked how it was set up for players. And that's the most important part. It's just with no air conditioning, I caught a bad one a couple years ago going up there to see the White Sox play the Brewers. It was one of those nights where it wasn't hot necessarily, but it was hot enough.
Yeah, where you realize, wait a second here.
This is uncomfortable.
Right.
I don't need this. And it's like, well, we'll open the roof. That doesn't really help at all. So they need a new place. But yeah, Milwaukee as a city, I always enjoyed it, even though that's horrible university is there.
What horrible university?
I hate Marquette, Dan.
Why? What did Marquette do to you?
What has Marquette done to DePaul?
I mean, other than basketball-wise.
That's all it is. They're the same university. It's just okay. One of them actually spends money on basketball, and the other one doesn't. What they did to me.
I didn't know.
That's what they did.
Didn't know the bitterness ran so deep.
It is the team that I hate the most.
Okay.
The most. Without question.
I think it'd be interesting, and I'm sure Craig Council will be asked about it before the game today, about those feelings. I know that I would follow up and listen to what we just heard again and say, how does that feel? Maybe he's heard from people there. This is sort of a time heals all wounds kind of thing. And everybody moves on with their lives. And like you say, the Brewers are playing well enough. The Cubs are... Just when it feels like everything's okay, things feel not okay. And just when everything feels not okay, things start to feel okay. But I think this Cubs season so far has been an object lesson in not riding the outcome roller coaster.
Yeah,
we
had a conversation about this offline, like the five of us. And it's hard because I don't want to treat every Cubs game like a Bears game.
You shouldn't.
But
you treat every 10 Cubs games like a Bears game by the math.
But when stuff happens inside of a Cubs game and people want to talk about it, it can be a little upsetting. And I do get that. Like people do want to react to it. So but the roller coaster is a really difficult thing inside of a baseball season. And Lord knows we went on a hell of a roller coaster ride from June to the end of September with the Cubs. Once they got back from the roller coaster ride started when they got back from London. When they got back from London, it was like, well, what are they going to do? How is this going to work? And then they started playing their butts off. And then you saw them just break down slowly to the point where you get to that series in Colorado and you go, really? You're losing to these guys? These bunch of clowns? You're losing important games? It's like, well, they only have to win two more games. And then Atlanta happens. And then that's bad. And then Arizona happens. And that's bad.
And not only that you had reliable veteran players letting their armor fall. When you saw Dansby Swanson making inexplicable plays, say a Suzuki having a ball drop behind him, it made it more uncomfortable when you're thinking either they're tightening up or physically and mentally they're breaking down. Cubs need blowouts. We keep saying it. They need breathing room in individual games, in series. It's one thing to be up. I thought 4-0 yesterday. I'm like, okay, they really needed this. Perfect.
That's
perfect
why,
for a getaway day.
That's why yesterday hurt so
much. Yeah, because now you've redlined your bullpen. You've used all the relievers you had left, and you're starting a series. And Craig Counsell's got to wake up and say, who do I have available today? It's the worst thing in a manager's life is saying, oh, boy, I guess I got – the moment when I thought – when Keegan Thompson got out of that bases loaded thing, I thought that was it. Okay. Well, that was close, and they're fine now. And then it just drip, 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 drip like water torture.
And you're not doing enough. You know, it's – oh, it puts everything else in jeopardy. Dun, 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 dun. It puts everything in jeopardy when you can't hold a lead and you're playing catch as catch can with the bullpen. And that's what it feels like is happening right now. Like that feels like what's going on with Craig Counsell, and he's earning his money. And you know that that's been one of my big things in watching Craig Counsell this year. He's probably having to do too much as a manager already, which is a direct shot at the front office. It's you have a manager that is clearly already made up games that you might have lost last year, but to ask him to keep doing that, to just be smarter than everyone, he's already got that in his bag. You needed to give him some firepower, and it was touch and go on how much firepower they actually added to this thing. And you hope that while last year you fell short probably because of managerial stuff plus you didn't have everything you needed and maybe you were a year early, you don't want to fall short this year and go, we had the manager, right? He did everything that he could, but this was an 86-win roster instead of being a 90-win roster.
Every opportunity to win is precious. And you would
precious. Precious.
You would hate to see their allergy to the first tax threshold keep them from being what they could be. Now, money doesn't guarantee anything. But it certainly does make things easier when you can buy your way over some injuries and some roster deficiencies. And I don't think fans should have to wait another 8 weeks to see some of this stuff materialize.
Yeah, and you don't want it to be just hang around, hang around, hang around. You'd love for it to be, well, we could just pound these teams and win this division because you're still in a space where the Cardinals are down, and they don't know what they're doing yet. That Reds team is not quite actualized yet, but they're getting close. So take advantage of that while you can. But and by the way, the Cardinals are going to have 3 wins this weekend because they're playing the White Sox.
Today, the Cubs return to Wrigley Field. You hater. To start a 3-game series against the
start that stuff with me.
Brewers. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call. First pitch, 1:20. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. When we return, let's whiteboard the stuff that we were reporting on based on the latest news out of Milwaukee with Patrick Beverley and his unfortunate behaviors last night. I don't know what was running through his mind or if he just had a bad night, but it was ugly on a lot of levels for a guy who, when he was here in Chicago, was kind of likable.
Yeah. But there's some context to that people who were covering the Bulls have shared online. So we can share some of that too. We'll do that next here on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2. Your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm sorry. You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe?
To,
I do not.
So I'm. You can't interview me then.
Okay,
no disrespect.
Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool.
That's cool. Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe. Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one. What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over like you have in the past?
You'll move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's Patrick Beverley asking an ESPN producer, veteran ESPN producer, if she subscribes to his pod, saying you can't interview me, and then asks her to pull her microphone, isn't interviewing her, is engaging in the post-game at the locker press availability, and he asks her to remove her microphone because she doesn't subscribe to his podcast.
Yeah. And
what?
And she already like acquiesces because Jamal works for them. Our friend Jamal Collier. Yep. That's who she's talking about in there. He works for them. So she's like, oh, okay, I'll let Jamal ask the question. And we both work for ESPN. So what should be the problem? This is, and people hate hearing about media problems, but in the media landscape, this is one of those things where, because there are so many athletes who are now also members of the media, which is a good thing, I think, where they have their own podcasts and TV shows and they can go and let their feelings be known unencumbered if they want. The idea of someone having to buy in to whatever your thing is, and I would probably just be like, you know what? I just subscribe. Like, while you were talking, I went on and I subscribed, see? And then kept going. Or walked away from it. He was being all sorts of jerky.
I don't really understand it. It's not that big a deal to subscribe to a podcast, and there isn't that much value to it ultimately. Like, what is he?
No, there's value to hearing players talk about the game without being prompted.
I understand that, but first of all, this is your job. Like, this is an actual enumerated job responsibility that you have. Your podcast is what you do on the side.
Yes.
That you might as well, if you're tying flies or doing crossword puzzles or whatever you want to do, that's your business. But you can't conflate that with this part of your job.
Yeah. I think that Pat Bev was just on one last night, and it kept snowballing on him. This wasn't the worst thing that he did last night. The worst thing that he did last night was throwing a basketball at patrons twice. He threw a basketball, hit a lady in the head. Then a fan threw the basketball. He asked for the basketball back. The fan gave the basketball back, and he shot it right back at the person who gave him the basketball. Then teammates came over, and they were like, what are you doing? So he was being snarky little bitch all day yesterday, and then it culminated with it. And like we said, this is part of the reason why he has been from team to team, where no one has said, this is why he had to go to China. This is why, because it's not because he's not talented. He's incredibly talented. He's a ridiculously good defender on the ball. He's a smart basketball player, and we saw it up close last year when he was with the Bulls. It's stuff like this that keeps him from taking that, or throughout his career, because he's towards the end of his career, of him being accepted, loved, and staying in one place for a long period of time. Joe Cowley talked about this a little bit on Twitter today. He said, without going into too many details, because the story doesn't only involve me, but it's fair to say that Pat Bev, and he tagged him, had the benefit of the doubt with the Bulls beat writers until the middle of the season. Pass was revoked, and now he swims alone, especially on his latest crap. Okay? Good luck with your first crap or your latest crap. Then, Vincent Goodwill, our buddy Vinny Goodwill, who covers the NBA for Yahoo, has done a great job of it. Vinny quote tweeted the video of Patrick Beverley doing this stuff in the locker room. And he said, that's one of those moments where all, in all caps, the media at his locker should have walked away.
Yes,
at once.
Agreed.
Clown behavior. I think that that's fair. And to go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, the other problem here is, I bet you jump to an apology. I bet you couldn't wait to get that apology because you know that that's where your post-career money is going to come from. And once you figured out that not only was this person an ESPN employee, she is a beloved
senior employee.
And she doesn't strike me as the type of person that would be vengeful, but there will be people that will be vengeful on her behalf.
It has always bothered me, and there have been any number of players, coaches who are disdainful and dismissive of the media until it's their job. And then they realize, oh, I'm 30-something years old, and this career is over now. It's time to do something else. And then they can't wait. And I will say, for every one of those guys, there's 10 people who've always appreciated and understand and know that people are people doing jobs. And I'm never embittered when an athlete or a coach decides it's now time to pursue a media opportunity, because I also think in large part it is meritocracy, that there's going to be plenty of chances, but ultimately if you're good, you'll get your chance. And whether or not you start out on your own podcast, you know, something like what JJ Redick is doing, where
or the All the Smoke podcast, and those guys weren't always the best guys to the media, and they've got their own space to do it. And I think both of them have learned, like, oh, I get it, I get some of this now, because they're getting smoke from current players about things that they
say. What I say has consequences now. Sure, that there are the words matter. And people can say, oh, you're the same person who said this. That now, like they say, if you're running for office, if you've been a legislator, it's tough because of your voting record. And there, and you can't, when you explain why, well, I voted no on that because I wanted a better version of this and nobody wants to hear it. Your voting record is your voting record. You come out with some of these opinions. So I don't think Patrick Beverly has been, in his entire career, he hasn't really been dismissive of either his responsibilities or the media writ large. But it's just never a good decision to decide to pick these fights.
I sent you the video. Look at the video.
Yeah.
I mean, of him, that
bad.
Is
bad.
That's suspension worthy and six-figure fine worthy. Even if it had it been just the one, had it been, you know, he was like, oh, I was just playing around. No. That when you get you hit the lady in the head. And the second time, when you get the ball back and then decide to throw it again at another patron,
you're the one thing that I know David Stern, especially post Malice in the Palace, that's when you had the leave the bench rule and some of that stuff really being forced. This idea of any sort of legal exposure when you are endangering the league, when you put yourself in a position. If that woman pulled a muscle in her neck, or if there's some issue with, you know, I had an eye injury from a basketball hitting
sure.
me. I had a braided cornea.
There's all sorts of stuff that could
bad.
Happen.
It is bad. There's I mean, she got kicked, and then all of a sudden the way the fan was removed from the game as if they had some fault. Like, there's all sorts of personal distress. And an opportunity here where Patrick Beverly's lack of control is going to potentially cost the league a significant amount of money.
And I get that part of what makes him great is that he does have a little bit of sandpaper to him, that he's not easily swayed, he's not easily pushed. This is what happens when some of that stuff goes unchecked. Or when it's, oh, well, that's just Pat Bev being Pat Bev. When that thing is allowed to continue without there being some consequences for it. I suspect that there are going to be major consequences for him, either financially mostly is going to be the consequence. Whatever the consequence is at ESPN, because he did a lot of great stuff for them in the playoffs last year. Some really incredible like analysis. And he's capable of it, but I don't know how you're going to, if he wants to keep playing, I don't know how there isn't going to be significant damage done to, do we really need Patrick Beverly? even with the things that he does and that he's capable of, do we need him?
It's not an essential opinion.
No, I don't mean an essential opinion. I mean even just as a player, like the next thing for him the floor.
Well, we know that's close to the end.
Right.
And they may just say it's not worth the
headache. Then when you get to the media part of it, I'm sure that there are higher ups at ESPN are like, oh, that's how it is? Okay, cool. When the playoffs start and you're over here looking for a check, maybe that check is smaller, or maybe we don't give it to you at all. If this is how, and you would think that a guy as observant as he is on the court would recognize the ESPN mic flag. Not that he should genuflect, but theoretically,
but don't act a fool.
Theoretically, this is your colleague, and that's how you treated one of your colleagues in front of another one of your colleagues. On a game that was televised on the network where you work sometimes.
And not to mention, just like you say with the basketball incident, double down. Mm-hmm. It's one thing, you don't subscribe to my podcast, you can't interview me. And then to begin and then get out of here, move your microphone. Like, come on, what are you doing?
Yes.
That's twice. That's not, I misunderstood, mistaken identity, I misspoke. You did it twice. So I do think there is going to be a severe fine for the one and a likely suspension for the other.
Yep. So that's what's going on. You want to talk White Sox? I know the answer is no.
But I see Josh Nelson here, and I always like talking to Josh Nelson, even if the subject is the White Sox.
He's here. Andy Garcia is here.
I did see Andy Garcia. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I got to introduce them to each other. It was nice.
The
it was
Westwood
a nice moment
one
here in the control room.
People are here today.
Andy Garcia, the voice of NIU, correct?
That's right. He is the voice of, goodbye, Toledo! Goodbye,
he
Toledo!
Can't use that. That's trademarked.
I think Bill will give him that. I think Bill will be like, that's all right if Northern wins a big game.
Goodbye, Toledo! Again!
Damn right, Bill.
And stay gone.
Stay gone, Toledo.
Josh Nelson on the White Sox. Sax machine.
Sax machine.
Goodbye, Toledo! Goodbye, Toledo!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.